Good morning and happy Sabbath. Thank you so much for inviting me to spend the week with you. You have all been a blessing. You've been so kind and affirming and responsive. We didn't scare you off with the monsters last night. You're back for church. Thank you for rolling with me. Just want to give another shameless plug, if I can, for the podcast, not just because it's my podcast. I think it's awesome. It's not just because I'm going to plug it that way. But Beast and Bible is a podcast sponsored by the North American Division of Seventh-day Adventists. It explores the intersection of monsters, faith, and pop culture, essentially all the scary topics that people don't want to approach, scary stories in the Bible that we like to avoid, and it's there because all of us at some point have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and I read something by a Lutheran pastor who said, a pastor is someone who walks with others through the night, and I like that idea, and so the whole purpose of this is to provide a safe place for people to ask their hard questions, to look at some of the scarier experiences of faith and stories we avoid in the Bible, and to walk people through and point them to the Bible, which ultimately points them to Jesus. And we have finished season one, and it went well, and season two is recording in June and July. I mentioned last night the story of Ellen White and the vampire metaphor. That's going to be season two, so you got to wait a little bit. It'll drop in September, but I solicit your prayers for that. So if you want to connect, you can actually go on Instagram, Beast and Bible Podcast. You can find it there. And of course, Google, Spotify, Apple, the podcast is there as well. We have a lot of great guests, a lot of scholars, Adventists, non-Adventists. And we talk about a bunch of really weird things you didn't know were there. And hopefully, those of you who have already been downloading and listening, thank you so much. I hope you continue to enjoy the journey. And so, it's time for our final sermon, The Bait of Satan. Don't get excited about that title now. I mean, some of you, it's a little, yeah, everyone got real quiet. Don't worry, it'll be okay. We're going to talk about Jesus and what Jesus has for us in terms of communication. But we're going to end on a topic that is probably the most difficult to master, arguably the most difficult. It's something we've all done, we've all been there, something we've all fallen for. And hopefully as we talk this morning and we read this morning, you'll create more awareness in your life. The Spirit will give you more awareness, and you'll avoid what is known as the bait of Satan. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for leading us through the week. Thank you so much for the music and the worship. Guard our hearts and minds from stress and anxiety now as we pursue studying your word on this important topic that relates to communication, restoration, and ultimately helping us to be good witnesses for you. In your name we pray. Amen. It was 10th grade health class. That class where we talk about all the bodily functions and fluids, when my teacher had a lesson that backfired. She asked the class to take a form and monitor how many calories do you eat a day. The boys in the class heard that as a challenge. How many calories can you eat in a day? And so there began this horrible experiment of all the boys, myself included, going home and just gorging themselves on literally whatever we could find, comparing notes in class the next day. We get back to class like, oh man, I had 3 Dairy Queen blizzards, 6 milkshakes, a medium pizza, and I almost didn't get my goal, but then I found that expired jar of peanut butter in the pantry and took that out. Who else is a part of the 10,000 calorie club? And we'd all cheer, and the teacher was like, was losing her mind. No, that is not the point of the assignment. What are you doing? What a weird thing to brag over. And you might think that's just teenage boys, that's just something they would brag over. Adults surely wouldn't brag over anything silly. A couple years ago, BuzzFeed released a quiz talking about 17 things that adults brag over that they shouldn't be bragging over. A few things. One of them was how little you sleep, how much you struggle, how many books you haven't read was on the list, and how overprotective their partner was. That's a red flag. And there are some other silly things too, like how spicy do you enjoy your food? Who's a spice fan here? Yeah, it elevates our moral superiority. Oh, mild sauce. I see you. Yeah. Why don't you step up to the spicy? Yeah. What is that? Mild sauce is just like red water. That's worthless. You need more. People will brag about beard growth, facial hair. Men, where are you at? I remember preaching in Washington, and it was No Shave November, where men grew out their beards for sort of health awareness, right? And I remember sort of challenging the men, let's grow our beards. I had a beard, and I remember being at the door, and about an 85-year-old woman ran up to me, and she said, Pastor, look, I have some whiskers too. Can I join No Shave November? May you continue to grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord. I didn't know what to say to her. Like, sure. I mean, what a strange thing to brag over. But of all the things we brag over as human beings, especially human beings in faith communities, there is one thing that we brag over that we wear as a badge of moral superiority, spiritual maturity, and it's the ultimate trump card to end any conversation. I wonder if you know what it is. When things are going bad, when there's a disagreement, we like to announce, "I'm offended." Ooh, yeah, I'm offended. That is the ultimate mic drop. I'm offended by that. We like to declare, we like to shout it out. I remember reading in the Adventist Review, our church's sort of flagship journal that's out there. I read this letter to the editor. The whole reason for letter to the editor is so people can just share how offended they are, right? That's just the purpose of it. Talking about a dating article. It highlights three dating sites, none of which seems to have a significant number of Adventist subscribers, despite the disclaimer. I find this offensive. And I'm just going to give you a pro tip. If you're single, you're looking for somebody, it's probably not the best idea to publish how easily offended you are. Just throwing that out there. Don't do that. But really, we wear this as a badge of honor. And so this morning, I want to explore this idea from a communication perspective a little bit. And I want to quote Saint Inigo Montoya when it comes to the word offended. You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, we come across the parable of the sower. Jesus is telling a story about a man who's going out and sowing seeds on different types of soil. Everyone familiar with that story? Yep. So, you know, there's all kinds of soil. And for our interest, we're just going to skip ahead. We're going to go to verse 20, 21. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, the seeds that Jesus, you know, throws, or the parable, the seeds that get thrown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, the seed represents the word, and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while, and when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. Many translations will say that person is offended. So again, the word is preached, the truth. It's received with joy and gladness because this person has no root, because this person is not mature or stable. As soon as something difficult comes along, they fall away or get offended. The word in the New Testament Greek that's used there is scandalon, which is where we get the English word. Anyone want to guess? Scandal. Right? Now, when we think of scandal, we might be thinking of something like a political scandal, a politician and their mistress embezzling money, some of that kind of scandal. That's not what the word meant in the ancient world. Scandalon was a snare for a small animal. It was a snare. In other words, you would put bait in it, and the small animal would hop or crawl over, and then, in the words of Admiral Akbar, it's a trap, right? It's a trap. The idea of being offended is linked with being trapped, stuck. I was a student missionary to Newfoundland, Canada. And Newfoundland, Canada, when I announced to my Canadian friends I was going there, they said, "Please don't judge Canada by what you see in Newfoundland." Newfoundland is sort of the backwoods of Canada. It's sort of like the Appalachia in the United States. I don't know, what's an equivalent in Australia? Who said Currumbong? Sorry. And when I got there, I was given this small apartment that was attached to the head deacon's flower shop. And I was told, when I got there, they gave me some instructions. They said, "While you're here, don't lock the bathroom door. Don't lock the bathroom door because it locks and you'll be stuck." Now, I thought that, okay, I can handle that. And then when I went to the bathroom, I saw that the door knob had been removed from the door. Silly Canadians. Of course it doesn't work if you take the door knob off. Let the American show you how it's done. So I attached the door knob and I was holding it with the little bolt in place and I was shutting it from the inside. And I got it shut, and without me doing anything, the bolt went, and I jiggled it, and I was stuck in the bathroom. Now, I had to get out, somehow, so I resorted to opening the window. Maybe I could jump. It was two stories. That's not going to happen. There was customers going by. So I leaned out the window, tried to wave at somebody, and the guy went and kept driving. So that's weird. I waited for him to come back. I waved again. This time he didn't look. He just kept, you know, I don't know what's going on up there. I tried knocking on the wall. On the other side was the flower shop. And I said, help, help, I'm stuck in the bathroom. Nobody answered, but I like to think that somebody was looking at some peonies, some carnations, and they heard as they leaned down to smell a flower, help, help, you know, and they maybe it was the same customer who left the store, I don't know. Eventually, I knelt down and prayed one of the weirdest, most embarrassing prayers of my life. Dear Jesus, I'm stuck in the bathroom. I can't get out. Can you help? I said amen, got up, tried the door, and it opened. So I have to live with the embarrassment. As all the student missionaries were writing into Union College, oh yeah, I had a Bible study. I witnessed the healing miracles of Jesus. I got myself stuck in a bathroom and prayed. It was roulette loose. It was great. But I was stuck. The point is I was in a position that because of my lack of awareness, my ignorance, I allowed myself to fall into. And there was a proverb, Proverbs 18:19. I'll throw this on the screen. A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. It's the idea that when you get into an offended place, you are cut off and separate, stuck and trapped away from all your relationships. And you have to realize this is something that's really important. When you say, I'm offended, we use it as like a feeling, right? I'm offended. It's not a feeling, it's a state of being. I am disconnected, I'm trapped, I'm stuck, I'm severed from relationship. And once you get trapped, it's hard to get unstuck because we tend to make things worse. I want you to imagine a small animal. It's a horrible thought, but a small animal getting stuck in a trap. What does an animal do when it gets stuck in a trap? Just chill out. This is the best ever. I needed a vacation. It'll bite, it'll scratch, it'll claw. It might even gnaw off its own leg to get out of there. The dangerous thing with becoming offended is when we get to be offended, we also tend to become offensive. When our self-righteousness is tweaked and we're offended, we will lash out and we are willing to do things. There's a quote that I remind myself of many times. Christians sin the most when they're right. Let that sink in. Or Christians sin the most when they think they're right. My wife and I were at a Pathfinder event. It's a Pathfinder rally. And there was a music team led by one of the youth. Those of you who don't know Pathfinders, it's a youth Christian leadership organization. Youth rally, and one of the youth had done his best to compose his own worship songs, his own arrangements, and worked, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks setting this thing up, right? Beautiful worship set. When the worship set started, as soon as the first chords and lyrics came out, one of the Pathfinder troops stood up, led by their leader, and began to march and marched out of the service. Because they didn't like contemporary music, they were willing to stand up, disrupt the service, and leave. Not only was it incredibly rude and offensive to the worship team that had worked so hard, but these are children being led by an adult who preemptively, premeditated, told them, we are going to disrupt worship service and disrupt your peers because they were offended. I had another friend of mine share a story with me about being offended. And if you ever want some good stories, ask a pastor sometime. Do you have any good stories about members who've been offended before? And you will be amazed at what comes out. One of my friends told me a story. He said he was teaching Sabbath school lesson and someone disrupted him and said, we need to interrupt the lesson, I need to talk to you, and took him to the baptistry. 35 degrees Celsius that day, and he said, I am offended that you aren't wearing a sport coat or a blazer. If you don't change right now, I'm leaving this church. Now, I have a good friend of mine who's a therapist who told me something. It's not quite crass, but it's sort of stark, you know. But it's another little life lesson you can tuck it away in your heart. He said, never block the exit for crazy. So when it wants to go, you're more than welcome to go. Now, you probably have stories too. And because of that, sometimes we cater to the offended out of a sense of self-preservation. sometimes we reverence the offended. We don't want to deal with them, so we will actually make plans around the most immature, easily offended, most lack of rooted, you know, person that we can think of. Why don't you turn to Matthew 18? In Matthew 18, Jesus' disciples are fighting over who's the best, who's the greatest. And Jesus, in verse 4, says, whoever becomes humble like this child, brings a child over, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus is saying is the things that we fight over our self-righteousness, that's not what matters. And he's not saying that you need to be immature like a child. He's saying you need childlike humility. It's not who's the most offended, who can have their way, who gets to win the argument. It is the one who's most humble and serves everybody else like a child. That is the mature person in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we don't want to be offensive. Matthew 18 talks about that too. We don't want to be offensive. We want to be sensitive, but we cannot cater the vision of our mission and our lives around the most easily offended, destable, immature person in the room. That's not helping them either. But it's difficult because we have so many opportunities, you and I, to get offended, to get uprooted, to get into conflict, and to not represent Jesus well. So I prepared a little test for you to help reinforce. We're going to do a call and response today. The Bible says the devil prowls around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. He's an expert hunter and he lays bait for us every day to get us trapped in being offended. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read some statements, some scenarios. We're going to start with level 1, 2, and 3. Level 1, mild. We're going to work to spicier. After each statement I make, I want you to say, don't take the bait. You understand? So I'm going to give you a scenario, totally fictional. I'm going to read it. Your response is, don't take the bait. Let's try it just to practice. 1, 2, 3. You're going to take the bait with a response like that. It's got to be strong. You know, you got to really mean it. You got to commit to it. 1, 2, 3. Better, but here we go. We're going to try it. Here we go. Someone cut me off in traffic. My coworker sent me a condescending email. They didn't sing my favorite song or style at church. They ran out of Tim Tams at the grocery store. Someone stole my favorite big camp campsite. Somebody gasped. No. Nope, you've lost. You know, it's only level 1. It's only level 1. We got to go level 2. Level 2. We're losing some people. There's some traps. My spouse didn't remember the chore I asked them to do. People didn't agree with my idea at work. They sang my favorite song at church, but they didn't sing it well. My family became vegan. Now I got to cook a bunch of weird kind of meals for them. Someone on social media posted a picture indicating they're blessed in a way I am not and I would like to be. Sorry, I'm getting a little warm up here. Someone called me a Kiwi and I'm from Australia. I need a glass of water. Yeah, really quick. I'm getting a little warm. Level 3. Someone brought meat to potluck. Oh, now hold on. Someone brought meat to our traditional vegetarian potluck. Everyone ate all the meat before I could get any. The American pastor teased Australians all week, even though his country's politics are a circus dumpster fire. All right, good enough. Good enough job. You can exhale and release that white-knuckled grip on the chair. So besides screaming, don't take the bait, what can we do? Because obviously you can't always just shout that out in the grocery store, at church. People wonder about you. Proverbs 15:1. One of the most cited and least practiced texts in the Bible. A gentle answer turns away wrath. When we are baited, we are tempted to react. But sometimes a soft approach can disarm the enemy and the trap. in her first year, a friend of mine, a chaplain, oh, thank you. Grab that real quick. Talk amongst yourselves. Talk to your neighbor real quick and ask how they're doing. Oh, thank you. Good. All right, enough conversation. Here we go. First year of chaplaincy, she visited a man, walked into the room to visit this person laid up in bed, and he was quick to tell her that he did not believe in women ministers. This first day, you're training as a chaplain, female chaplain, you walk in, one of your first visits, I don't believe in you. Your whole existence offends me. That's a big bait. Fine, you can die, I don't care. No, you can't say that. You know, you can't do that in a hospital, yeah. So what she did, she said, I was 23, I wanted to light my hair on fire and just run around the room screaming, I was so angry. Instead, she said, tell me more about that. And there was a pause, and then he began telling me the story of his life. In fact, he was a former Adventist and then became a priest, now retired. And as he talked on and on, he said, would you pray for me? And she did. And at the end of an hour-long conversation, he said, would you come back tomorrow and talk to me? Just that gentle answer turned away wrath. Second, what I would suggest, when we get trapped, instead of saying offended, say, I need some help. I need help. Because really, when you announce you're offended, what you're saying is, I'm stuck. I've been trapped. Now, sometimes we have to distinguish between, am I really offended or am I just angry? Am I just sad? Am I just frustrated? But when you do get offended, just ask for help. I need help. I have encountered a situation and I feel stuck and disconnected. And that's, if you just say, I'm offended, like, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do with you. But if you can be more specific, I feel disconnected because of what happened. You know, now I have some ways maybe I can interact with you and help you. Now, of course, there's the question, is it never okay to be offended? Because that sounds like, man, what a privileged space to be in where I'm never offended, never bothered enough. So here's what I would suggest. There is an exception we see in the Bible that occurs in the Hebrew scriptures and in places like Luke 17, if you want to turn to Luke 17. Jesus says, occasions for stumbling and being offended abound. And woe to the one who makes a little one stumble. It's this idea, when you look at some of the ways that the prophets call out power in the Old Testament, how God talks about being offended, and then here we have sort of being insensitive and abusing people who maybe be literal children or children of the faith. There is some intentionality here. When we see someone willfully, critically, even it's out of their place of being offended, ruining people, there is a moment to be offended and step in and start setting some boundaries. There is a response. But most of the time, generally, biblically speaking, being offended is seen as a trap for the spiritually shallow or immature. And we all have those seasons where we get trapped. There are extreme situations in life that, yeah, be offended, get disconnected, make boundaries in your relationship, separate. But most of the time, that's not what we're dealing with. Being annoyed does not mean the apocalypse. I know it can feel that way. When we don't get our preferences, it is not the same as being persecuted. Somebody listen to that. When our opinion isn't celebrated, it doesn't mean that everyone is sinning, and being offended is generally not a mark of spiritual maturity or holiness. So may the Spirit make us aware of Jesus' teaching on the trap of being offended. May we be aware of the bait that Satan lays for us every day, and let us ask for help when we sense that trap closing on us. And most importantly, don't take the bait. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for your goodness and grace towards us. Give us awareness so we don't take the bait. And when we do take the bait, help us to learn to ask for help and give us the grace to get unstuck. In your precious name we pray. Amen.